P-Carry Reel 2.
So, your wound, in fact, was quite serious to be in hospital so long.
Well, yes, it's serious to be in hospital, but it didn't, you know, it wasn't a serious wound in that sense. You know. Didn't have any effect on me.
So, you were released from hospital in April?
About April, yeah.
Can you remember when about?
No, it must have been sometime in April. Funny enough, talk about the Navy, we had a chap who came to the hospital who said he was from the Navy, and he said, if you come down there, you know, to show you around. And two of us went down to Cartagena, you know, we're the first down there. And I can remember two men down there that nobody apparently knows about. And it's a bit odd, really.
Yeah.
Two Britishers? Two Britishers, yes, who were on the, in the Navy. And we stopped down there a couple of nights, actually. And,
do you remember what they were called?
No, I've been trying to trace them. You know, they show me photographs. They can remember vaguely one chap. He must be a fairly high lieutenant commander, I think. But he had some connection with the Navy, because apparently the Jaime Primero, it was built originally in Glasgow, you know, John Brown's yard. And they were trying to get some of the big guns out for it. They were bereft of guns, apparently, you know, so many rounds, there had to be, you know, new guns, new barrels. And I know he used to travel to and fro, you know, on business, trying to get these guns.
And was that during your recuperation or after?
Yes, no, during it. During yes. So that must have been about early April, I think.
Yeah. What was Cartagena like? How did that compare with Murcia?
Oh, no, totally different. It was a rather grim town, really, because it had a bashing. And so many people used to live in the caves, you know, there was a limestone sort of mountain. And it was all hollowed out underneath. I remember going to it, you know, at a ghastly sight, really. Sort of like the underground was in London during the blitzes, and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. And it wasn't a very pleasant town.
No. Yeah.
And was there plenty of food in Cartagena at that time?
Not a great deal, no. Yeah. No.
So you were glad to get back to Murcia.
Yeah. Yes, Murcia was much better.
when you were released, where did you go from Murcia?
I went straight back to the battalion then.
Which were where? On the
Rambler Front? On the Rambler Front, yeah.
And you stayed with them then?
Until they were getting ready to go to Brunetti. We'd left to go to Brunetti, and then the, you know, I think the three or four of us taken out for dispatch riding.
Yeah. And Brunetti was in July, wasn't it?
Yes, July. Yeah.
So from April to when?
About June, we came out.
You came out from the Harama front in June?
Yeah.
So you were simply manning the front for a couple of months?
That's all.
With just sporadic firing?
That's all, yeah. Yes.
Did you do any training before Brunetti?
No.
Not at all?
No.
So you just straight out of the line?
Straight. And back in.
Okay. And how did that go? Were you simply loading into lorries?
No, as you were fit, you know, you were saying, well, what do you want to do? And we said, you know, of course we want to go back in. So from Murcia we went back to Albacete. Albacete were, you know, got together and then went straight back to the front.
Yeah, but I mean, you were in the front in Brunetti, in back at Harama, about the end of May.
Yes.
And you were simply stationed in the line there until mid-June.
We were drawn then. We went back to... Now, I don't remember the town. There'd be a town fairly near there, and then we sort of regrouped and rested, re-equipped and so forth, and got ready for Brunetti.
How long were you re-equipping, regrouping, so on?
As far as I can remember, I think about a couple of weeks I was there. Yes.
Now, the battalion had suffered quite heavy losses at Harama.
Oh, yeah.
So presumably, were the replacements sent
up? Oh, it's a replacement sent up.
Who'd been trained back
in Madrigueras.
And presumably they've been filtered into the line, haven't they?
Yeah.
To keep the battalion up to strength. You were withdrawn and you rested a couple of weeks and then you were shipped by lorries?
By lorries. Well, no, I before they went out, we came out, we went down to Almanza. We joined I joined the French then, the dispatch rider.
As dispatch rider. How did it come about that you were made dispatch rider?
Well, I could ride a motorbike, and I could speak some French, so, you know, that was it, sort of thing.
And who asked you if you do that?
I think it was just a question. Does anybody speak French can ride a motorbike? So I said, I can, you know. So that was it, you know. I didn't know what it was for, but that was what it was for. Yeah.
And you went down to
Almanzar? Almanzar, yes. Yeah.
And who did you report to there?
No, I went down to Albacete first, because what they call the Grupo. We did some training there, you know, dispatch riding, to see if you could ride a motorbike and mechanics and that. And then I was sent from there to Almanzar. And then I was there for a month or two. And then from Almanzar, I came back to Albacete. Said, you've gone on a special job. It was a group of dispatch riders used to ride from the border to Madrid, you know, from France to Brigade headquarters.
What did you do in Almanzar?
In where?
In Almanzar.
Almanzar.
Yeah.
Dispatch riding is to take anything from, you know, from Almanzar to anywhere they wanted, you know, no. Either to Madrid or Albacete or...
This was the French were there, you said?
French were there, yeah. Yes.
Which brigade was that?
I think it was the 14th.
14th.
Yeah, yeah. 14th.
And can you remember their officers, who they were?
No.
You were just at brigade headquarters?
At brigade headquarters, no. We used to sit separately, just wait for messages to come and told where to go.
Where did you take them in Madrid? The messages?
Messages?
Yes.
Up to brigade headquarters in Madrid.
To brigade?
Brigade headquarters.
I see. So they would have a liaison officer in Madrid?
In Madrid, yeah.
Headquarters.
Yeah.
And he'd be liaising with the High Command?
With High Command, yes. Yeah. Presumably, yes. Yeah.
Did you ever see any of the Spanish generals at the High Command?
Well, most probably did, but, you know, you just give your message in and then you go back and wait and until you get something else to do. And
can you remember, they'd all be addressed to the all the letters would be addressed to the...
Etienne Major, yeah.
Who was the brigade officer in Madrid? Can you remember his name?
I remember Marty was there at the time. Names, unfortunately, not my strong point. I don't really.
Okay. No. So you were at Almanzar for about a month.
Yeah.
How long did it take you from there to Madrid?
On a bike?
Yeah.
Oh, not long. It used to take me about, I was heading, about 5 hours, I think.
From
Almanzar.
To Madrid.
To Madrid, yeah.
To Madrid, yeah. Mm. What sort of bikes were they?
Norton.
British Norton?
Yes. One I had was Norton. Could move.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, I had a Saralea, I remember. It was a sidecar.
After the month in Almanzar, you received orders, did you?
To go back to Almanzar. To go back to Albacete, because that was, you know, headquarters. And then Albacete, we there for a little while, and then I was sent on to this other job. You know.
Which was?
Well, my particular one was Valencia to Barcelona, Barcelona to Valencia, you know, every day,
up and down.
Up and down. Yeah. I had to get it from the chap used to bring it from the border to Barcelona. I had to take it on from there, and then from Valencia to Madrid, you know, three stages.
Someone else did it
from
Valencia?
Did it from Valencia to Madrid then.
Where were you going to in Barcelona? What particular point in it?
Well, it's just a headquarters, you know.
Yeah. And
we're attached to the headquarters.
Yeah. Was this general work or was it from the
battalion?
Oh,
no,
battalion,
battalion no. Battalion. Just international brigade, yeah.
And in Valencia?
In Valencia, again, I used to take it to, you know, dispatches to the headquarters, and then it used to be given on from then. Yeah, onto Madrid.
Did you meet any British people who were doing this sort of work? You know?
No, nobody. No. In fact, I was the only British. The rest were either French or German.
Of the army?
Of the dispatch riders.
Of the dispatch riders.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the various headquarters, there were no British either?
I didn't see any at all, no.
So you'd be handing them over to French or German?
To French or German or Spanish, yeah.
How did you? Were you picking up Spanish by that time?
Yes, yes, yes. Enough to say, you know, yes or no, and here it is.
And How long then were you on that job from Valencia,
Barcelona? Well, I was on that till I left.
Yeah.
Eventually, of course, we couldn't get through, so we're just in Barcelona. And then they said, you know, there's nothing else to do. So.
So you were sent home.
So I sent home. Yeah.
So you do that job from when? From late summer.
No, it was after that. I must have been at Mount Mensa longer then. Yeah, it was through the winter, then it packed up, I don't know, a month before, and I was sort of hanging around for a month, you know, doing nothing. And then I was sent home then.
When actually were you sent home?
I was hanging about in February, and then I was sent home in March.
Of 38?
38.
So you've been doing that run from Barcelona to Valencia for about how long? Three months?
Oh yes, good 2 or 3 months, yes. Yeah.
And can you remember exactly when you started on that run after Almanzo?
I think it must have been about November.
About November,
yes. It would be about that, because I remember... sometime we came down from Madrid. And I remember that time it was very cold. And then by the time you got down to Valencia, you know, you were in your shirt, you know. So it's been about that time.
Occasionally you were switched from that.
Switched, yes. Did odd times. Another once or twice I did. I remember coming from Madrid, you know, all huddled up in coats. And by the time you get down to Valencia, you know, take them all off you and sunshine again. Lovely.
You said previously one of the reasons you were sent home is that you were in Barcelona when it was cut off, when the nationalists broke through. Now they broke through, in fact, in April of 1938, didn't they?
It was about then, yes. But my run was between Barcelona and Valencia.
Yes.
And of course it got shorter and shorter.
I don't see,
they were coming, they came, they broke through and split it.
To the Mediterranean.
You see, Mediterranean. At that time, the run was sort of getting shorter. Because as we were coming through, you know, things were shifting around a bit. And I was actually in Barcelona, and I finished that. Mm. So I don't quite know what happened after that.
But so you were actually in Spain still in April of 38, were you?
No, I was at, no, March.
March.
I came home in March 38.
Just before the breakthrough.
Before the breakthrough, yeah.
Yeah. And there was no need, by that time, there was no
by that
need
time,
to liaise.
No.
In other words, the brigade headquarters in Valencia started
shifted.
Moving up the coast.
Yeah.
And you never met any English people all that time that you were doing the dispatch writing?
Not a soul.
Not a soul. when you got to Teachout, presumably after the run from Barcelona to Valencia, that would take some time, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, yes.
How long?
You order most of the day, you know.
Most of the day,
yeah.
I'm presuming you have a sleep.
Sleep at night and back next day.
Okay.
No.
Where did you sleep?
Well, we had a room somewhere.
I'm
not quite sure.
Room.
Dispatch writer's room, you know. We sleep there and get a meal there. And the same down, you know, in Valencia, we used to go to there and we used to have a room there, we used to skip down in and then used to go out and get a meal in the comida, you know. And then next day, back again. Yeah.
Since you're liaising at sort of brigade headquarters at each end, presumably you wait reasonably well, isn't that right?
Yes, yeah.
What sort of things were you eating during the war?
Well, it wasn't reasonably well. It was reasonably well, I suppose, with a lot of other people. Well, the main diet seemed to be the, what do you call, the Barcelona beans, you know, nuts. There's very little meat, of course, and tomatoes, vegetables and things like that. You know. Bread, no sugar. And that was about it.
Did you ever get any fruit, fresh fruit?
Oh, yes, fresh food, yes. Yes, fresh food. Oranges, of course.
Did you ever have any time off?
Very rarely, because when we had time off, you know, you clean your bike and overhauling it and you know, getting ready for the run. Mm. You didn't get much time off at all.
And did you have much contact with the civilian population?
Very little. No. We were told, really, to... to keep to ourselves because we were dispatch riders for the brigade and we were given a revolver and we were told to keep, you know, couldn't give anybody a lift or anything like that. You know, we had to keep pretty much to ourselves.
Did you ever have to use your revolver?
glad to say.
Had the bombing of Barcelona started by then?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
What was that like?
Well, it reminded me, I remember living in London at the time of the bombing in the Zeppelins, and it was a bit like that. It wasn't bombing in the same sense that we had the bombing in, you know, in the Blitzes. It wasn't intense bombing, because it was quite light. Well, at that time it was, anyway. It was quite frightening, you know, but there seemed to be a lot of shelters. Shelters were very good, I must say. They built shelters, a lot of shelters, underground shelters. And the air raid precautions were certainly much better than we had in England.
Really?
Oh, much better. Much better. Refugios were all over the place, concrete refugios. You know. They were very much better. You know, when you think what we had in Hyde Park, ditches and things like that, you know, quite primitive, really. But in Spain, the shelters were very good. Very good.
Was there much warning that an attack was going to come? Just the sirens?
There was the sirens, and then, you know, you hear the buzzing, and then, woof.
Can you remember the planes that came over? Did you ever see them?
Well, I wouldn't know what they were, you know. Presumably they were Fokkers. Angled.
How did the civilian population of Barcelona react to the bombing?
Oh, very well, really. Very well. I think they're a bit mystified at first, you know. Of course, it was the same as in England, you know, it was new, and but they adapted to it very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, getting on a particular side of the street and things like that.
Was there much damage to Barcelona?
Well, you sort of have to compare it, really, with damage in Liverpool or London. No, in that sense, no, there wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did Barcelona compare with Valencia?
In which way?
In terms of damage, in terms of food, in terms of the population?
No, Barcelona was I reckon it was far more damaged. Valencia seemed to be quite more normal. It's a very bright city, you know, full of life. Barcelona, I suppose, really, because Barcelona was the main port and the entry for, you know, the industrial part of the... was more heavily damaged than Valencia, I would say, yes.
Was there more to buy in the shops in Valencia than in Barcelona?
Well, that's hard for me to say because I was there mainly in night time, you know.
Yeah.
I was driving all day, and by the time night time came, you know, to have something to eat and go to sleep, you know.
The government will be in Valencia at that time.
The government was in Valencia, yeah.
Was there a lot of activity because of that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And lots of soldiers on the street, really?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay, so in March of 1938, you came back home.
Came back home.
Who gave you the order to come back home?
Bill Rust.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, my arm was a bit dicky by then, you know. And, I had a job actually to drive a motorbike then.
Yeah.
You know.
Where did he come and see you? How did he know you were?
Oh, well, I knew Bill Rush was the only person I had contact with actually, because he was in Barcelona at the time.
Yeah. What was he doing then? Do you remember?
Well, he was the liaison between the party in Britain and the battalion, of course.
I see. And you saw him quite often.
Yes, very often. Yes. And of course, I knew Bill Russ because I came from Manchester.
Yeah. So how often would you see him approximately?
Well, occasionally, perhaps once or twice a week, you know.
So he you did in fact see an English.
Yes, person. I'm sorry. Yes, I did. Yes, of course. Yes.
What an old
card. Yeah.
I know what you mean. Did you have much talk with Bill Russ? You knew him well, I presume.
Well, I knew him fairly well because I knew him in Manchester, of course.
And you got to know him better in Spain, of
course. Yes.
And did you have long talks with him?
No, not really. No, no, no. Just sort of passing time of day and I'm still here, and
Did he often sort of travel to Albacete or to other places?
No, no idea. No idea.
And was he empowered to give you an order to go back to England?
Oh, yes.
He was?
Oh, yes.
Did he himself hold any military rank?
No, no military rank, no.
But he could give you an order?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
How did you know that was the case? I mean, there's a chap who's coming from Manchester. All right, he's a party member.
Well, for me it was easy.
You were a soldier?
Yes, for me it was easier because A, I was a party member. B, Bill Russ was, of course, the district organiser in Manchester. Yeah. And as I was branch secretary in Manchester, you know, it would be sort of... I would naturally take an order from Bill Russ, being the district secretary. In that sense, you know.
But didn't you have to... I mean, who was your superior military officer at the time?
Well, the superior military officer would be, really, the chap in Albacete. Because they were in control of all dispatch orders. We came under Albacete for all, you know, all orders.
Who was that?
I can't remember. He was an Armenian. I remember an Armenian, little chap. Soviet Armenia. And he was a very nice chap, very efficient, and very good at his job, I'd say.
You can't remember.
Agrippian or something like that it was, I remember. We always called him Agip. The nearest we get to it.
But in fact, your Desi Day order, so go to Barcelona, go to Valencia, would
was just simply brigade, you know, the whoever was the officer in charge, you say, well, take this to so-and-so, and take this to so-and-so, and that was it. But I could be withdrawn from, you know, from Albacete, who would then put another dispatch order.
Did that happen often?
No, very seldom. It did happen once, twice, you know, as we were drawn to Albacete.
And you
got arrested and then.
Or telephone orders? Or?
No, I just told the officer would tell us, hey, you would go back to Albacete, and I go back to Albacete, and then I fiddle around there for a while, and bike overhaul and so forth, then back on the job again. So he was would be the man in charge of all dispatch riders, you know, for the brigade.
So what you saw Bill Russ towards the end of March, middle of March perhaps.
Yeah.
And. He told you to go back.
He arranged for me to go back to.
Had he talked with Albacete first?
I would imagine so, yes. I imagine so.
Did he actually say he had? Or?
No, he didn't say he had. He simply said that, you know, I mean, he knew I was, you know, spare, you know, sort of doing nothing at that time. And he arranged for me to stay where I was. And then next I heard that, you know, you might as well go back to. No, you can't do anything.
So in fact, technically, although you were a soldier,
yes,
there's a political comrade who simply says go back and you go back.
Yes.
And that was normal at the time, was it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You say you've been sort of idle about a month in Barcelona. Was it that simply because the duty officer didn't give you any message to send?
Partly that, and partly I was, my arm was very weak at the time, and I was having trouble in, you know, in driving a bike. It was a sidecar outfit, a very heavy thing, and it really did take a bit of handling. And I was put on rest for a time, you know. And then whoever took over, you know, was doing it, and I was sort of a loose end, and then things were, you know, developing. So Bill said, you know, you can't do much here, better go back. You know.
How did you get back?
Came back by boat. From a boat.
From Barcelona?
From Barcelona, yeah.
And that was right the way
around? Right way around, yeah.
What sort of boat was it?
It was a boat that went into Liverpool. What do they call it? I know. Seacrest line. It's out of existence now. But actually, it pulled into two ports in Francis Bay.
Really?
Yeah.
It was a
bit
cargo
frightening.
Ship,
but cargo ship, yes. It's one of those that were running a blockade, you know, coming through. But actually, it pulled into two ports in Spain.
To deliver goods?
To deliver goods, or pick up.
So it was just carrying on its general cargo duty?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a big boat?
No, not a very big boat, no.
And it was
we hid under the boilers for the time it was in, yeah.
How was it arranged that you would come back on that ship?
Well, I don't know. You know, they party arranged that through the captain, presumably. You know.
And it was an English captain.
English captain, yeah.
Did you meet him?
No, no, I didn't.
And
not officially. No, it was just taken out of the crew, and he didn't know anything about it or anything. You know, officially.
He turned a blind eye.
Yeah.
And were the crew English?
Oh yeah, all British. Yeah. Oh yeah, had a jolly good time on going back. You know. And then when we pulled into port, of course we hid, and.
That was in Spain.
Nashua, Spain, yeah.
So you didn't see any of Nashua?
Nothing at all. Thankfully.
Yeah. Mm. I'm presuming you were reasonably well on the boat.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Very well. By comparison.
When did you get... Which were the ports that you called in?
Cadiz and... Cadiz, I know, was one of them. And I don't really know the other one, no. I know it was two ports.
Was it sometime after Cadiz?
No, before Cadiz. So it most probably be at that time, because Malaga was in their hands, of course. So it could have been Malaga.
During the rest of the voyage, except for pulling in to these ports, you presumably be on deck.
Yeah.
Did you see much of the intervention fleets or the battleships and so on?
No, no. We kept pretty well much below the deck. We just used to go up a bit at night time. Because nobody was supposed to know we were there, you know, that sort of thing, officially. So at night time we went up on deck and, for a breather and that. The remainder of the time we stopped down below in the cruise quarters. You know.
How long were you actually on ship from Barcelona to Liverpool?
Must have been about 10 days, I think.
10 days. Mm. So in fact you were sort of smuggled out of Spain.
Yeah.
And you come into Liverpool when? Mm. When did you go?
In March, sometime in March, yes.
March. Yeah. And then what? You come back from Spain?
Well, I went straight to see Frank Bright, of course.
In where?
And, in March.
Yes, but...
Frank Bright was the district area organiser.
In Manchester?
In Liverpool.
In Liverpool, yes.
And we told him what happened, and then they sent us down to King Street.
You've been told to go and see Frank Bright, haven't you?
Yes, yes.
And presumably he put you up and gave you clothes and that.
Yeah, and then sent us down to King Street.
And in King Street what?
In King Street, you know, we were sort of briefed and that. And
how do you mean briefed?
Well, we were told how we came back and who we were and that, and then presumably Frank Bright, Bill Russ would have sent word, you know, we're coming back and that. Checked out, and then I think we were given a couple of quid or something, and then I came back to Manchester then.
And you started working then, didn't you?
I started working then, yeah.
Did you find it easy to get a job?
Funny enough, yeah, I did, yes. I was an electrician.
Yeah.
And there was a job going at Chorley, I remember. It was a big munition place at Chorley. I think it was about the first main job. And I was going to go up to there, and then there was another big job at the Abervale Steelworks. Was just starting then, and I went down there and I got a job there straight off.
Did you continue to be a member of the party at that time?
Oh yes, yeah. Oh yeah.
Did you take part in meetings, aids with your relatives and that?
Yeah. Well, I was mainly engaged in the ETU because the ETU had a bit of a battle on then, you know, with Citrine and Falks. Yeah. That was a sticky time for us.
But you continued supporting Spain.
Oh yeah.
What was your impression on leaving Spain? Were you glad to get home, or were you sad that you couldn't?
Well, it's sad because you could see it was the end there, and although
you could see it was the end there.
Oh yes, oh yes, yes.
Now others have come back and they said, well, even right up to the end of the Ebro crossing, they felt that it could.
No. No, I have no illusions about that.